Now, one of the traditions that they went back to and began to appropriate in a new way was the Pure Land tradition. We've spoken of earlier as having significance during the Tang period in China. In the Heian period, devotion to Amitabha, or as he is known in Japan, Amida Buddha, had been just one of the options that were available in the religious synthesis of Tendai Buddhism. So in the Tendai of Saicho, you could express devotion to Amida Buddha as you could practice meditation or chant the words of other Buddhist sutras. As the power of the Heian court declined, though, and as the national crisis deepened, a number of Tendai monks came down off the mountain where they had been studying their tradition and turned to the streets to bring Amida's salvation to the common people. Kuya, who lived from 903 to 972, was known as the Saint of the Streets, and as he danced through the city and the town around Kyoto, chanting the name of Amida and singing simple songs in praise of Amida's paradise. A key part of Kuya's practice was to chant the phrase Namu Amida Butsu, which means homage to Amida, or Amitabha Buddha. This phrase is called in Japanese the Nembutsu, and it's understood as the way to gain access to Amida Buddha's compassion. So if you call on the name of Amida Buddha, Namu Amida Butsu, oh, homage to Amida Buddha, the understanding is that Amida's compassion will become available to you and will sweep you along to the Pure Land. You can see how this is a kind of simple and concentrated practice that might really be attractive to people in a difficult time. For one thing, it promises salvation beyond this difficult and painful life in this world. Now, it was not until the time of Honen, another important Pure Land figure, who lived from 1133 to 1212, that the Pure Land tradition began to function as a separate sect. Kuya was still a member of the Tendai school and gave the Tendai tradition his primary loyalty. But in the time of Honen, Pure Land became concentrated and it began to split from the Tendai orthodoxy that had dominated religious life in Kyoto. Honen believed quite clearly that it was no longer possible to rely on your own efforts to achieve salvation. That was the problem with his era as he saw it. You simply could not by yourself achieve salvation. And the only hope of salvation lay in complete reliance on the grace of Amida Buddha. Now, the distinctive character of Honen's teaching is very clearly evident in a document that is called his one-page testament, delivered to his disciples 2 days before he died. And I think it's a good thing for us, actually, to hear Honen speak in his own words. "The method of final salvation that I have propounded," he says, "is neither a sort of meditation." We're not talking here about meditation. I'm not asking you to sit down cross-legged and concentrate your mind. That would be too tough. "That kind of meditation that has been practiced by many scholars in China and Japan, nor is it a repetition of the Buddha's name by those who have studied and understood the deep meaning of it." This is not for scholars. I don't want you to go to school and do some course on the exegesis of each syllable in the name of Amida Buddha. "It's nothing but the mere repetition of the name Namu Amida Butsu, without a doubt of his mercy, whereby one may be born into the land of perfect bliss. The mere repetition with firm faith includes all the practical details, such as the threefold preparation of the mind and the four practical rules. If I as an individual had any doctrine more profound than this, I would miss the mercy of the two honorable ones, Amida and Shaka." That's Amitabha Buddha and Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha. "And I would be left out of the vow of Amida Buddha." Those who believe this